plate a potential nugget.
I think the other piece you talk about in the book that really caught my attention was about how we deal with negative information, right? I think at the outset, you say that two pieces of negative information often end up being more different than two pieces of positive information. You know, as a result, we're probably more likely to get a meaningful juice from mining the silent graveyard of failure than the loud screams of success. Can you say more about where this comes from?
Well, the interesting part is that it's hard to learn from negative information. It's hard to learn from failure. It's hard to learn from negative feedback, despite the fact that it often has better information. Now, you ask why negative information is often more informative. Well, the reason is that it is often the case that there are fewer ways to succeed than the way to be wrong. Okay, and if there are more ways to be wrong, then one mistake will not be similar to another mistake. Let me illustrate this with an example. If you think about being appropriately friendly, okay, an employee that is just is the right level of friendly, okay, is not constantly talking and in your face, but is also not withdrawn. Okay. That person is very similar to another employee who's also friendly. Now, let's take someone who's not friendly, okay, who has some issues with her social skills. Maybe she's withdrawn. She's very different than the employee who has the wrong social skills because she's very chatty. Okay, she is constantly needing of attention. And I can basically take any dimension of performance and say, well, there is often the right range. Okay. And if you are underperforming, it could be because you are doing too much or too little outside of this range. Other reasons why negative information is often more informative is that when people give you negative information, they are often more thoughtful. Okay. Negative feedback tends to come with an explanation. So if you ask me, how am I doing? And I feel well, I'm just going to say, good, thank you. If I don't feel well, I'm going to say, well, I don't feel very well today. And I will then explain why. Like, you're not going to accept just, oh, I'm not feeling well, and you know, me going away. You would like me to explain. You expect the elaboration, and I expect this for myself. And if you take these two things together, okay, the idea that negative information is often more elaborated, and that it is often the case that the ways to be successful are similar, but the ways to fail are different, that would result in many situations in which negative feedback is more informative. Failure has more information. Not always, but many times.
That's very interesting, Eilert. If I may try and link it back with another conversation I had with a gentleman called Dan Cable, Professor Dan Cable at London Business School. He actually talks about the notion of a highlights package. You know, he says, just like you have sports highlights, you know, when you're trying to work on yourself, try and organize your own highlights. You know, what were the, you know, the different ways in which you touched people and the difference it made to them. And he says that can tell us a lot about who we are and what makes us distinctive, our superpower, etc. It's interesting that I'm just sort of, as I hear you say, maybe the fact that we don't hear so much about what makes us special, it makes it worth the while for us to create a highlights package, because otherwise nobody really talks about it. I think people also offer more negative information more easily to us. Is that a good way of reconciling the two?
I'm not sure that there is more negative information out there. I like the advice to think about what you do well, because you will often come up with more abstract variables than what you will hear in feedback. The feedback is often more concrete and more specific, and to extract your values, okay, to extract something such as I care about the people at work, or it's important for me that we adhere to certain values. This is often too abstract than what you hear when you get feedback, but it's not true that feedback tends to be negative. Actually, when we look at it, feedback tends to be positive and in a way empty. Okay, so positive in the sense that, Deepak, you're doing a great job and you're really, you don't know what's great and what to do with that feedback.
That's a great point. I think the abstractness of it makes it valuable, given that the daily feedback is often more tactical and more concrete. So I think that point's well taken.
Yeah, and often empty. The problem with feedback that it's often hard to extract valuable lessons. I would say that when I do the exercise of having people in my class, these are business students, give feedback to each other, they are often very vague about the negative, about the points of improvement. So the other person is not really learning how they can improve, how they can do things differently. And the positive is kind of empty. So, you know, more of, things are going very well. Good. Let's move on.
And talking about negative feedback, you make the distinction between whether we're talking about commitment or progress. And depending on how we frame our feedback, people are likely to respond differently. Can you say more on the nuance here about giving good developmental feedback?
Yeah, so the problem with negative feedback is that, well, actually, let me step back. There are a few problems with negative feedback. And one is that the person might not pay attention. Okay, so there is no learning whatsoever because I don't even remember the negative feedback that I received. I wasn't paying attention. The other problem is that I might pay too much attention and get to the wrong conclusion. I might conclude that I am not good at it, that I have no chance, that I am unable. And as it turned out, the most productive way to use negative feedback is to think concretely about what needs to change, about how we can grow from the feedback. I make the distinction between commitment and progress. If you think about negative feedback as suggesting that you are uncommitted, well, too bad for you, Deepak. You're just uncommitted and you just can't do this. If you take this negative feedback and think about it in terms of lack of progress, well, I can just work harder. I can figure out how to do it right. Okay, maybe it's about putting more work. Maybe it's about doing things in a different way. It's really in the interpretation of the same feedback. Is it a sign that I need to try to do it in a different way or just harder? Or is it a sign that it's just not for me, or that, you know, in the extreme cases that the world is just cool and there is absolutely nothing I can do about it, I'm just going to get negative feedback.
And is there an example you could use to illustrate, how we find the right language? And also, how do we tailor it to whether somebody is committed to it versus somebody who's still unsure if it's the right activity for them?
What we find is that it's best to give negative feedback to people who are already committed, who are not going to doubt their commitment as a result of the negative feedback. And there are a few approaches to do that. First, you can just give more negative feedback to those who are already the experts, those who are committed. And we find that people often intuitively allow themselves to express more criticism, constructive criticism toward those who they feel are secure, toward those who they feel are already sure about their commitment. We also find that more committed individuals or experts are more likely to seek out negative feedback. And really what I mean by negative feedback is seeking out information about how I can do it in a different way, okay? What is less than ideal about the way that I'm doing it so far? When people feel like novices, when people are novices, when they're not sure about their commitment, then negative feedback can really give them the wrong message. They can take it as a sign that they are unable. So, you know, to give you an example of a study, we found that students in an advanced language class were more interested in an instructor that will tell them what they do wrong than students that were just starting to learn this language.
One of the things I try and do in my work is ask people that choose to work with me why they picked me. I also try and ask the people that choose not to work with me for whatever reason. I notice that the latter often has insights which are often in my blind spot and offers good food for reflection and potential correction. To build on what Eilert says, even if we can mine our own graveyards, the pockets where we are less successful, we might find interesting things. Another application of this is that if we want to understand the culture of a company, we could ask the people who are culture carriers what they think. But if you really want some juicy information about the culture, you talk to the people who chose to leave the company for whatever reason, and you end up picking up all kinds of insights when you do that. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.